Take one, installment three. Hello, folks. Welcome to A Professional Day in the Life. I'm your host, Keith Wood, and today we have guest Eric Cook. He works with T3 Performance in Avon, Ohio. It's a gym that does athlete training, corporate wellness training, personal training, boot camps, really anything that you can think of they do. And we're going to take this episode Memento style. If you guys have seen the movie Memento, we're going to start on the present day. And in the movie, he has a bunch of tattoos. I don't know if Eric has any tattoos, but they finish the movie where he has no tattoos, and it kind of takes you on a timeline through the movie where different incidences, he loses his memory, and that's why he has all the tattoos, but it works backwards. Anyway, that's a little convoluted on the story of Memento. If you've seen it, that's how the episode is going to run. But Eric, let's start with the present day and give us an idea of how you work within the company T3 Performance.
Sure. So, Keith, thanks for having me. Love the show. Love the movie Memento. And I do have tattoos, actually.
Nice.
So, some of them you won't be able to see. But so what I do for T3 Performance is a couple of different things. First is a trainer. So we're a performance facility where, again, like you said, we focus mostly on athletes. So I train athletes from 7 to professional, working on improving movement patterns, working on strength, performance, and overall athleticism, and just kicking butt, to be honest. And then on top of that, like you said, I'm the director of corporate fitness, and that entails kind of setting up and doing wellness programs for local companies. Right now, our niche is right from 50 to about 250 or 300 employees, really kind of specializing in some smaller companies. But we do some cool stuff with them. We do everything from walking programs to one-on-one lunch and learn, or one-on-one lunch consulting, lunch and learns, and a little bit of everything.
Okay. So you guys, you have the corporate wellness, and I imagine that, you know, day one, you guys go in there and probably present something, right? You have to introduce yourself to the company and how you're going to help them out.
Right.
And how do you get people to actually join the program?
Nice. So, yeah, that's probably a big hurdle that we have to kind of get over, too. So once the kind of company decides that there's a need for something like that, it's tough because everyone wants to work out, but nobody wants to work out. You know,
right.
It's tough.
Great
it's hard.
Idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. If it was easy, everyone would do it. So,
sure.
We kind of try to make it as fun as possible and as interesting as possible and as effective as possible. So the boot camps and the classes and the things that we do are always different, always fun, are always innovative and smart. So the people are excited, but also we try to lump them into groups or into a workout partner type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the accountability and the peer accountability is big. I feel like when people kind of work with each other and push each other, not only does it provide better results, but it provides a better program.
Yeah, I'm sure you get that sense of camaraderie that hopefully probably spills over to the work environment and improves their productivity and all that stuff.
Absolutely, right? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, when they're kind of busting each other's chops in the weight room, they kind of push each other and become better friends at the workplace, and then, you know, you never know what goes from there. It's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, so, you know, what are some of the different ways that you keep them involved? So now you got them in the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've developed maybe some of those camaraderie type relationships, and they're starting to work together. But maybe let's say a year down the road, and you know, everybody kind of falls into their old habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may not want to wake up early. They may not want to work out at lunchtime or whatever time you guys train. But what are some things that you guys like to implement throughout the year, kind of just to keep their attention and keep them going after a goal or a bigger goal together?
Sure. So we do a lot of like challenges and contests and things like that. So we have a system that like you said is a yearly system that has some of those peaks and valleys throughout the year. So some of the stuff from the one-on-one consultations and the lunch and learns, things like that, that's just like general knowledge and,
mm-hmm.
and things to kind of educate them. We'll throw on top of those some challenges and some contests. So we'll have a walking challenge or like an activity challenge where each one's getting points for the activities and the minutes that they kind of exercise for that week, or they're doing a water challenge, you know, they're carrying around water bottles for the week or something like that. And then the challenges get better. Even we have things like a thank you challenge where they have to write a thank you note a day for 7 days to somebody or a random activity. So we have a whole bunch of stuff. And then usually we have like a Biggest Loser contest kind of towards the end of the year, towards the end of the program. So they kind of learn how to exercise and how to eat well and how to be healthy. And then it kind of all comes together and culminates at the end of the year with that weight loss challenge.
Okay.
So we have a handful of things to kind of keep them interested, keep them going with a big kind of bang at the end, which is
seems to be a good. So within T3 Performance, you train athletes, you do boot camps, you do personal training, and then your focus within the overall group of employees is the corporate wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what you do when you're not actually in front of people training them, right?
Right, yeah,
that
correct.
Pretty accurately describe that?
100%.
Okay, cool. So you've been with T3 before it was T3, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so right.
Even way back in the day. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, okay. So way back in the day, what, maybe 6-7 years from now, something like that, or yeah, ago, we were a small gym. There was only maybe like 3 trainers, something like that. And it was like, it was probably like a 40 by 40 room. I mean, it was just a tiny little place. We had like, you know, 3 dumbbells and 5 athletes. It was just a tiny little facility, no windows.
Was it a closet?
It was like a room closet. Yeah, it was really safe though, but no windows.
Tornado shelter.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just a nothing facility, and we really, you know, we used pieces of equipment that we had in our houses, old dumbbells and old benches and things like that, and kind of tried to put it together and really started to kind of develop a program, develop some things that worked. Our athletes really started to get some notoriety, and really the coaches that they played for really trying to see or got to see some improvements and got to see some things. So that kind of snowballed and kept snowballing into what it is today. And then obviously that'll continue hopefully into the future. Cause I need some money. So hopefully we'll keep
going. right. No, that's pretty interesting. So, before T3, you were probably just wrapping up college, right?
Yeah.
Before, what was it called before T3?
Track Performance 3D Institute. Or Track 3D. Yeah.
So before that, you're finishing up college and you played football in college at Mount Union, right?
Yeah, Mount Union. Yeah.
And we had Fred Blackman on last episode.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And he was a Mount Union guy. Did you know Fred at Mount Union?
I did. Yes. Okay. Fred and I, we were in the same class. We played football for a couple years together. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the college football experience. Some things you learned, some things that you loved, and maybe some things that you had to overcome.
Yeah, right on. So it was amazing. I've been playing football from as long as I could walk. My buddy and I used to play in the backyard all the way up through high school and college, and it was just something that I really loved to do. So being able to do something that you really enjoy and like to do is obviously awesome. So playing football, Mount Union, good program, a couple of national champions in there, and really some great athletes, and the training part was really kind of what I like to see and what really got me to where I am today, because like. Mm-hmm. Seeing what we did then and seeing what worked, what didn't work, but also seeing some of these athletes and their work ethic and what they put in, you know, off the field to make them who they were was really inspiring and really kind of cool and contagious. You know, it was
okay.
It was a lot of fun. And then overcoming wise, everyone has some injuries, but I did have some back injuries too. I ended up having 4 back surgeries, which is pretty sweet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they put 6 screws and 2 rods in my back and all that kind of stuff. So that was something I had to overcome I think I try to pull from that sort of stuff, all the physical therapy stuff that I've done, or all the back injuries and all the rehabilitation type stuff that I've had to do. I try to put that into our program now, and especially with the corporate wellness, personal training stuff. It's pretty cool.
Okay. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper here, and I'm going to get, down into the motivation, kind of that intrinsic, that internal motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, and I'd like to, let the listeners hear it, because I think everybody has this inside of them. But what's the reason behind why you do what you do? So what pushes you to help people chase their dreams? And on top of that, what's an example in your personal life that has instilled this purpose in you today? So let me wrap it up again real quick.
Yeah, dude, that was deep. That was
wrap
awesome.
Wrap it up quick. So you got, what pushes you to help people chase their dreams?
Yeah.
And then what's an example of an experience in your life that continues to instill that purpose in you today?
Okay.
Because you're kind of the catalyst. I think that's the right word. You're the catalyst that helps to facilitate, mold, and develop you know, kids' athletic dreams. Mm-hmm. And we all know that athletics span, you know, further outside of just sports into the life experience and how it develops young people into becoming solid, successful adults.
Right.
The question, do you remember the question?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
All right, one more time. What pushes you to help people chase their dreams?
Yeah.
So why do you get out of bed every morning? Okay. And what's an experience in your life that continues to instill that purpose inside of you on a daily basis?
Cool. You're digging deep today. I like it. So why do I do what I do? I think I like helping people. I like anything I can do to help somebody else along the way, whether it's a stranger or someone I know or family member. I like help with people. I want to be that person that helps them up. I want to help. I want to do everything I can. So I think whether it's an athlete that's trying to get better, you know, or trying to make the JV team or trying to make the college team, whatever it is, I want to do everything in my power to kind of help them along. You know, so I want to watch them progress. There's no other feeling in the world when a kid comes in and can't chew gum and walk at the same time, and then right. You know, a year from now they make the basketball team or something. You know, they're excited, they're pumped. There's no better feeling than that. So, you know, to be able to help people and do things like that, I think is amazing. Especially on the corporate wellness side, this is a story, and I won't say any names or anything, but I had a person who was coming in corporate wellness wise, you know, whatever, 30, 40 pounds overweight, stuff like that. She ended up losing, I think, 42 pounds total.
Okay.
Now, in the process, while she lost that weight, she noticed a lump in her breast and went to the doctor. They took it out, found out it was cancer. But if she wouldn't have lost that weight, she probably wouldn't have found the lump, which would have been other problems. Yeah. You know, so it was just stuff like that, too, that you can really kind of help people and help grow. And I think that's
right.
I think that's amazing. I think, you know, there's another other job like it, really. And then what certain instances in my life?
Yeah, just like stuff that you've had in the past. I know I can sit here and say, you know, I like to help people too, and I like to help people out because there's so many times in your life where you have to overcome things, and you have to, you know, go to work or go out and try and find new business. And there's days when you're unsuccessful. There's many days when you're unsuccessful, probably more than you want.
Right.
And when you have somebody that helps you out, I mean, that's like water when you're dehydrated and dying of thirst. You know?
Yeah, right.
So it's like almost a godsend in some senses when you're struggling and somebody helps you out. It gives you that renewed sense of purpose. It's almost refreshing to your spirit in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what it is to help somebody out, and you know, I know that there are things throughout my life that continue to be a memory and help me find that, you know, strength in a certain way to come in with the enthusiasm and the energy and the genuine authenticity to help people out. But yeah, what are some of those experiences, I guess, in your life, in that life that continues to push people, or maybe coaches that you've had in the past? Or,
yeah.
And how have they helped you out?
Yeah. So that, you kind of hit the nail on the head with the last part there. So I was lucky enough to work with a trainer in high school and college that was a big influence in my life back then. Just a stand-up guy, and really the same type of thing, just the flip side of the coin. He was one of those guys that really wanted to help people and do whatever he thought was best to make sure that they succeeded. And I thought, you know, it's such a pivotal time and weird time in people's lives, you know, from being a teenager and changing and all that kind of stuff, to have someone there to kind of bounce some questions off as that wasn't a parent, that wasn't a judgmental, wasn't a whatever, it was a non-partisan third party type person that could really point you in the right direction. So that was awesome. I had an awesome coach in college who was the guy who recruited me, was my position coach, who was a defensive coordinator too, who was this little, you know, 5'5" dude, badass, like just tough, hard nosed, and he was a guy that really helped me out mentally through a lot of adjusting you go through college and stuff like that. So it was really cool for him. Another one too is my friends. We always had a real close group of friends.
Yeah.
So after college, getting hurt and going through a little bit of a loss type situation, I had a lot of close friends that were really there for me a lot and kind of there to pick you up and there to kind of get you out of certain situations and without them, I don't know if I would be where I am today. So I think the certain people that have helped me, the least I could do is kind of turn around and help somebody else. You know, I think that's
what we're all here for. It's kind of paying it forward in a certain
sense. Right. Exactly. That's a good term. Yeah.
If you have a sense of gratitude, you want to replace that help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, 100%. 100%. That's good. I like that.
So how do you find the connectivity, that ability to relate to people, you know, that's, you know, connectivity and ability to relate to people, one and the same, and that helps to motivate them throughout the training.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not really kind of in tandem with where they're at in their life or that day, they don't have the intensity to come in and put forth worthwhile effort to train, right? And you kind of have to play two people. You got to be the guy that knows exercise physiology and exercise prescription and all that stuff and keep them safe and keep them healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you got to be their psychologist certain way. You got to be able to help them motivate themselves, because in the end they're themselves motivating themselves, right?
Sure. Yeah, right.
And get them to the level to perform and give effort so that they can have the results that they talked to you about 3 mm-hmm. months ago.
Yeah.
You know, how do you help them fulfill their intentions?
Mm-hmm. So it is a tough question, because that's something you kind of have to find on a client to client basis, which makes it kind of fun to me. Right. It's like, you know, what do we have in common, and what can we come together on? You know, because a lot of times too, I'm, you know, like I said, I've trained kids that are 7 years old all the way up. I think my oldest that I've ever trained was like 74 or something, you know, so you're not going to have big things in common with all those type people and different types or times in their life and different interests and things like that. So it's fun to find that common ground, and something you can kind of keep talking about and keep pushing them. And you do have to dig a little bit too. You do have to kind of dig to see what started them, what brought them in here, why are they here? Right. You know, what kind of motivates them, and you know, they just want to look good for summer, or is it something that they want to improve movement wise, or some imbalances in the body that's causing them pain somewhere else. Right. So it's really cool to really dig and find what motivates some people.
So what, where do you see yourself in 20 years?
So what am I, 30, 40, 50? What I'd like to be, I'd like to build this corporate wellness business up to be its independent company. It's self-sufficient and kind of to keep moving on there and really kind of keep expanding. And then I would like to expand that. I'd also like to own a gym, own a facility. Okay. And, I think that would be fun. That would be good.
Gotcha.
And then retire on a beach somewhere.
Lakey Beach.
Yeah, there you go.
If you had one book to recommend to a young professional, whether they're a fitness, exercise professional, whatever it is, if you had one book to recommend, what would it be and why?
That's a good question. To a young professional, I think, wow, that's actually an awesome question, because I can think of a couple different books that are really cool that might not be 100% business, but I thought were interesting. But I think the best one to me is Never Eat Alone.
Okay.
And it's a book about like networking and how to kind of navigate around those social situations and how to kind of build your network and build your system and build that connections with other people. It's not just you know, what other people can do for you, but it's how can you help other people? You know, and then it kind of same thing type thing, kind of like a pay it forward type stuff. If you go out there and help somebody else, you know, the end goal is to have them turn around sometime and help you out too.
Yeah,
and it's cool to they have some really good ideas. I think Never Eat Alone would be the best, would be the biggest book that covers.
I think that's, you know, I kind of came to this point in thought, I guess I wouldn't call it revelation, but think about if you would have been networking with a different goal in mind. All right, so when you graduate high school, you're going out and you're meeting a lot of different people, right? You're kind of only hanging out with people that you directly have things in common with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hanging out with them and you're not directly in common with them, like, you never really develop a relationship with them.
Yeah.
That maybe you would in your professional career because you have more in common, right? Not everybody in college has the same stuff in common.
Right.
You know, everybody has different goals in college. So But think about, I was thinking about, you know, if I would have started doing what I'm doing today and keeping in touch with people and just harvesting my network from a time that I got out of high school, I would have a far better and more sound network.
Right.
And I would be in a different position to position myself for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But building off of the book, Never Eat Alone, why is networking so important to you?
Yeah.
Where do you see it fitting into your life, and how can people maybe that are 10 years younger than you start to implement those practices to put themselves in a better position?
Sure. So 100%, I think everyone always says if I would have known then what I knew now type thing, everything would be different. And there's obviously truth to that. Because if I would have started, like you said, the networking thing 10 years ago or when you're younger, or when you're in college, something like that, it makes such a big difference. Or at least having that in like kind of forefront of your head, like kind of, you know. But why is it important? I think it's hugely important because let's say if you lose your job right now,
right?
You know, you're going to turn in some random resumes to companies you've never seen before and all that kind of stuff, like cold calls. But the biggest thing you're probably going to do is turn to your friends, turn to people you know, and turn to people you're comfortable with, and say, "Hey, this is what I need to do. I'm kind of SOL for a little bit. How can we work together?"
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the same thing as this networking stuff. It's people want to do business with people that they like. You know, so if you're out there and you're being friends with everybody, you're helping everybody else out. You know, people want to do business with people that they like to do. You know, so it's going to come back to you one way or another. You know, and that's what it's all about is finding as much reach and network as you can, and because you never know how you might be able to help somebody out, and that might be awesome. And then hopefully, you know, down the road, someone else will be like, "Hey, you know, Keith is awesome at financial stuff. I should give him a call, or I can refer him to this." And it's a life changing type thing. So, you know, you don't know what you don't know, but it's awesome to kind of to have those chances out there. At least set yourself up for success.
Cool. So, what advice would you give anybody fresh out of college? Give one more final question
here. Yeah, save your money. Pay off those student debts. talk to Keys, get some financial advice. Right. What I would say. no, but same. I think it would be the networking thing, man. Honestly, like, the more people you know, the more you know. And it's
true.
Like, you kind of said something about it before. When you're friends with people in grade school and high school, you're friends with them because they live down the street or because you went to baseball team, practice together or whatever.
Right.
When you get to college and adulthood, you kind of you're friends with people because you're friends with them, because you have common goals in mind. And that's the biggest thing with the networking stuff, too, is find those people that you have common goals with, really expand that network and you know, do what you can for other people.
Right, right. And I think some with the networking, you may not have things directly in common, but you can still find ways to relate to each other.
Right.
And they may have somebody that can help you out in your related field of work that can be an introduction someday.
Yeah.
It's a step in the right direction.
Right.
To be corny about it.
No, right, because it's the same thing. Like, it's planting seeds. You know, obviously you're not going to plant that seed and then tomorrow you're going to harvest it and eat.
It is a harvest. It's a harvest.
Right, right. Sure. Down the road, we have a sweet farm.
All right, Eric. Well, I appreciate you coming in today and doing the interview. And we'll have to have you on again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. All right, guys. We'll see you next time on A Professional Day in the Life. Not bad.